today as we come to the table.
For some people, it's never going to take. They're never going to receive the Lord. They're never going to repent. It's just kind of, they've made up their mind. They've hardened their heart, and that's how it's going to be. And that's Pharaoh. Now we see the first three plagues, blood, frogs, and lice, or some type of insect, probably a biting or annoying insect or whatever the case might be. Life is getting miserable in Egypt, and it's going to get worse until they repent. Guys, what an application that is for us today, because as we live in the world, that picture of Egypt, life continues to get worse and worse and worse. And we have two choices, either live in this miserable world with no hope of a future beyond that, or finally break and say, what am I doing?
When God tries to get your attention, listen. That might be the biggest takeaway as you join Pastor Mark for today's message. God has something to say, and when He speaks, He wants you to hear. He wants you to stop sinning and start a new and better life with Him. That's what He wanted for the Egyptians, and He gave them plenty of opportunity to turn around and try again. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. What has God been saying to you lately? Has He been pointing out a sin in your life? Today is a great day to start listening. Take the lesson of the Egyptian people and apply it to yourself. Don't wait until it's too late to repent. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in Exodus chapter 8 as he continues his message, Blood, Frogs, and Insects.
Satan always comes to us and tells us when we're doing something other than God, there's going to be blessing, it's going to be good. It always ends up in heaps of death and stink. Remember that, guys. Always. Satan is a liar. So we're going to see heaps of frogs. And again, God is going to show His superiority over this frog god Hecht, if you will, as He has Moses bring out hordes of them on the land and then has to take them away. Notice verse 3, so the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly. You know, you like frogs? You like worshiping these things? I'm going to give you plenty of them. Frogs, which shall, notice where this, ooh, this is creepy, okay? You already kind of creeped out on the frogs. You ready for this? Which shall go up into your house, into your bedroom. Ooh, you know, get up in the night, on your bed. I mean, they're in the covers with you. Into the houses of your servants, on your people, in your ovens, in your kneading bowls. You know, you couldn't even turn away while you're doing the bread. Hey, honey, could you make me some ingredients? Okay, you know what I mean? This was nasty. Mom, what's this green thing in the bread? But I look at this. I mean, in the ovens, the kneading bowls, their beds. And get this, they couldn't kill the frogs on purpose. Why? They were their gods. See, this is the same problem you have in India today. The cows are gods. They believe the cows are gods, which is interesting to me because you know what? You see these things connected to Satan, like the frog symbolically, whatever's going on there. You see things like the oxen that they worship over in India. The Bible says that Satan is a cherubim. And the cherubim that surround the throne have four faces. What is one of the faces? An ox. Isn't that interesting? So when they're worshiping the ox in India, who are they worshiping? See, that's one of the faces of Satan. I mean, one of his faces, the Bible says, is an oxen. It's an ox face. It's a cow face. Now, to us, we go, wow, that doesn't sound like somebody would want to worship. But it makes a lot of sense when you go back through history and look at the calf worship. And now the cows they worship in India. Satan said this, I want to be God. I want people to worship me. And so do you see this allurement? Well, you can't kill a cow in India because you're killing your God. You can't kill a bug or anything else, whatever. It might be your uncle because of reincarnation and all these things. I mean, it's really a bizarre thing. So when all these frogs come in, it's like, you know, you can't do anything. Get rid of them. What? You know, we can't hurt our gods. And so this was quite the setup here and pretty nasty and pretty gross. So they'll come on them, notice, and on your people and on your servants. And the Lord spoke to Moses and said, say to Aaron. Now, the first three, by the way, the first three plagues, you'll see Aaron stretch out his rod. And then after this, we're going to see Moses now gets in the game stretching his rod out. No doubt because Moses was the one being timid at first and Aaron was to be the prophet and Moses was to be as the spokesman for God. So you see these different roles, but you'll see Moses get more involved later. But notice it says, the Lord said to Moses, say to Aaron, stretch out your hand with the rod over the streams, over the rivers, over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up on the land of Egypt. So Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and they covered the land of Egypt. Now that word covered was the word I already tipped you off to a minute ago. That is the word that means in the language to clothe or overwhelm. So how would we read that? Frogs were clothing or overwhelming the land everywhere. This was nasty. And so again, this is to get their attention and to break them. And here come all Pharaoh's buddies again now. We had the snakes, they made more snakes. You know, we had the blood, they made more blood. Now we have the frogs, and here they come again. Look at verse 7. And the magicians did so with their enchantments. You know, at this point, I would say, thanks a lot. Would you guys just stop? Don't we have enough blood? Don't we have enough frogs? All you're doing is making it worse. Don't you have something to take the frogs away? Don't you have something to make the blood disappear? And guys, note this. Satan does have limited power, but all he can do in the world is make things worse. He can never make it better. There's nothing that Satan can do that will improve your circumstances or improve your situation. And so he just gives more of the bad stuff. And it's always worse after a person gets involved in that direction than before. And so Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people. So now finally, there's kind of a little glimmer of a crack here. For the first time, Pharaoh says, all right, come here. Okay, just get rid of the frogs, all right? These frogs are getting to me and I'll let the people go. So now he's lying. They don't know this. They're about to find it out. He says, do this. I'll let the people go that they may sacrifice to the Lord. And so now finally he got Pharaoh's attention through sheer grossness. It's gross. Get rid of the frogs. Okay, come on. And Moses said to Pharaoh, all right. Now I love this. He gives him a test because he wants Pharaoh to know who it is that really is controlling the frogs. Lest somebody on the History Channel in a documentary years later might say, oh, it was natural and just happened. God wanted to make sure that nobody could make that foolish claim, because there's going to be a timing to when the frogs leave. And he's going to give a specific time, and he's going to let Pharaoh pick it. I don't think Pharaoh can pick the natural results of environment, do you? And also, he wanted Pharaoh, obviously, to realize, hey, this is the hand of my God, not your gods, and not chance, and not a natural thing. It is supernatural with God controlling it. So he said to Pharaoh, accept the honor, then, of saying, when I shall intercede for you, for your servants, for your people, to destroy the frogs from you and your houses, that they may remain in the river only. So you tell me when you want them to leave, and I'm going to do it at that time. God is, rather, as I pray to him, to show you that God's in control of it and that God's doing it. I love this. And look what he says, verse 10. So he said, tomorrow. And he said, let it be according to your word, that you may know that there is no one like the Lord our God. Not your God, not your gods, the Lord our God. I've never really understood this, but guys, Moses says, when do you want the misery to stop? And what does he say? Tomorrow. What is it in our perverse, sinful nature that does that? I'll talk to people and their life is falling apart. I mean, they're in total devastation. Their family's lost. They're messed up in drugs and alcohol. And you say, look, would you like to receive Christ? No, I'm just not ready right now. I need one more night with the frog. Why do you want to spend any more time with, you know, the frogs, with Ribbit and Croaker? I mean, come to Christ. They're only going to hurt you more. What's your deal, you know? You got a frog on your back. You know, it's time to get rid of it. But again, this is amazing to me. I mean, I would have said something like, when can we get rid of them? How about like right now? How about march those little green guys back down to the stream while I'm standing here? They're all around us. Look, the lamb was clothed with them. Get rid of them. He looks around with all these frogs everywhere. They were in every room, it says. So imagine Moses and Pharaoh surrounded by frogs, and there's Moses in his robe and his thing, and all these frogs around there. When do you want to get rid of it? He goes, tomorrow. That blows me away. Blows me away how we hang on to our sin. I'm just not ready. What are we waiting on when it comes to giving our life to the Lord? What are we waiting on? Well, you know, it just won't be the same. If I come to Christ, I'll have to give up all those frogs, and they're so squishy and gross. Man, Satan deceives us, doesn't he? Delay, delay, delay. Partly because oftentimes I think we enjoy our sin. You know, the Bible says sin is fun for a season. You know, the frogs don't seem so bad as long as it feels good. You put up with a frog if it's fun for a while. But the Bible says then it turns to darkness, deception, evil, ruin. And so, and some people just aren't willing to change. At this point, like Pharaoh, just not willing to change. He's just not going to do it. But again, we see the sorcerers and enchanters, you know, he wanted to make sure they couldn't take credit for it. So I'm going to get rid of the frogs. You tell me when I'm going to do it so you can't say you're witchcraft guys, you know, you're sorcerers and all that. They did it. No, they didn't do it. My God's going to do it. Our God. And notice verse 11, and the frogs shall depart from you, from your houses and from your servants and your people, and they shall remain in the river only. That is tomorrow when I pray. Then Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried out to the Lord concerning the frogs, which he had brought up against Pharaoh. And so the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and the frogs died out of the houses, out of the courtyards, and out of the fields. So they died, but guess where they were when they died? Yeah, just laying there on the ground. You know, God didn't send them back to the stream. He just killed them. And there's a reason for that. Notice what it says happened. And so they gathered them together in heaps. Think about that. Green heaps of dead frogs. Stinky. And there's these big piles. And they're all stinking. And guys, note this. Even when we do repent, note this. If we continue on with the frogs too long, even when we do repent, oftentimes it's a little bit stinky afterwards. And I think a lot of Christians stumble at this. There are consequences to our sin. When you repent of your sin, are you forgiven? Yep. But you know, it depends on how long you've been with the frogs, how stinky it is when you finally turn. And sometimes there's a little bit of a mess to clean up. And I think some believers stumble at that because they say, why is this happening? Why do I have these consequences? I've repented. Well, you're forgiven, but you made a big pile of frogs back there and it stinks. It's going to take a while to clean that up. Just know you're forgiven and start the cleanup job. Get your shovel and get rid of them. Heaps can sometimes be gross and smelly. That's part of it. Pharaoh, he's at a point where he's tired of the frogs. They stink. He can't stand it anymore. His life's so miserable. And listen what happens. But when Pharaoh saw that there was relief, he hardened his heart and didn't heed them as the Lord had said. In other words, once it was really bad, I've got to have help. You got to help me. It's things are terrible. Then once it got a little bit better, I think I can do this on my own. Okay. You ever seen people like that? Their life gets miserable and they want you to pray for them. Pray for me, man. I'm not really a Christian and all that. And I don't know, but I know you pray and everything's horrible in my life. Just pray for me and that. And you're thinking, hey, we're getting somewhere. Maybe they'll come to the Lord through this, right? God's turning up the heat and sending the frogs in their life and they're going to repent. And then all of a sudden, God gives them some relief. He removes the frogs for a while and what happens? Well, it's not so bad, you know, and I think I can do this. It's sad. Again, it's that perverse nature of the human heart. It's just like mankind. It's like us, really. Especially before the Lord. You know, we'll repent when things are bad, but as soon as things get better, we kind of just go back to the old lifestyle. Remember 9/11? How can we forget? Congress on the front steps of the Capitol, God bless America, kind of scared, kind of singing it, kind of scared. Well, what's going to happen? Are we under attack? Is there going to be more things blow up? Or what? You know, what's going to happen to our nation? We just saw how vulnerable we are to an attack in a nation we've always felt safe and secure in. Wars happen on foreign soil, not here, other than the Civil War. And so all of a sudden, they're seeing God bless America. Even the ACLU held off on their wickedness for about 3 months. There weren't any lawsuits against Christians for probably 3 to 6 months by the ACLU that I could find. You always find them in the paper. ACLU is always doing something against God, against Christians, whatever. Even that organization, nothing. It was like everybody was scared to do anything, kind of watching to find out, are we going to be judged? What's going to happen? Everybody's kind of in this frozen state, right? And then just as soon as, okay, all right, things have settled down, no more planes crashing into things. Yeah, you can't use God in the schools, and hey, let's get back at that court trial. Where were we? You see that? I noticed it immensely, but I was looking for it. It was clear for me to see. Once the frogs are gone, back to the party. Pursue the evil. And so he does. His heart's not broken yet. Now we come to the third plague, the lice, or it's what I call insects, because really the word here could mean a number of things. It could mean lice, it could mean mosquitoes, it could mean these biting gnats, you know, that bite you. And so there's several things it could mean. We don't know for sure, but either way, we'll call it lice here for the sake of this, because that's what this particular, at least the New King James, chose to use as the interpretation. So insects. So the Lord said to Moses, say to Aaron, stretch out your rod and strike the dust of the land so that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt, or whatever this insect was. And they did so. For Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod, and he struck the dust of the earth, and it became lice on man and beast. All the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. Now, unlike the first two plagues, this one came without warning. First time he goes to Pharaoh, hey, I'm going to turn the water to blood. Okay, do it then. You know, right? All right, now I'm going to do the frog thing. Okay, he does it. This time, no warning. Boom, lice everywhere. Why? The Bible doesn't tell us why, but probably because Pharaoh's heart was so hard that he didn't heed or yield to the warning of God. So God said, all right, just don't even tell him. Just let him suffer the consequences of his hard heart and his foolishness. And they strike the land, and all these lice or biting gnats or mosquitoes or whatever it happens to be came upon the people and on the land. Even the animals had them. And again, you think about it, biting gnat, how miserable that would be. They say they have those over there, you know, and they sting and they hurt. If it was a mosquito, that'd be just as bad. Mosquito would even carry more bloodborne plague and illnesses as they were biting and all that. You know, I don't know if you've ever really been, you probably have. Probably everyone in here has been in a place where there's a lot of mosquitoes before. And I remember on a mission trip one time, we were in an area that was filled with mosquitoes. I don't know why. There obviously was a lot of water around there. There wasn't any malaria, thankfully, or anything like that. So there wasn't really a concern that I knew of catching some major disease. But you'd go to bed at night. And it was like one of those, you know, typically you go on the mission trip, there's no air conditioning, and it's like in the 90s or around 90 or something in your room at night. So it's real hot in those places. And all of a sudden, these stings all over your face and neck. And there was no way to get relief. It was like constant, one after all over the place. You know, and there's no way to get relief but pull the covers over your head. You ever pull the covers over your head when it's 80-some degrees or 90s, no low 90s? So you have this thing, am I going to roast to death, you know, or am I going to get bitten? So you come for air from it. Ah, sting, back under, you know. It's miserable. And whether or not it was mosquitoes or whether it was biting gnats or whether or not it was lice or whether it was bed bugs or whatever it was, the bottom line is they were all over the place and it was just a miserable thing, a nightmare, horrible. So now we see God judging this other God here, if you will. They worship the earth, even as we worship the earth today. Earth worship has been around as long as man has. And so they worshiped the earth back then as well. And the earth, the God of the earth at that time was called Seth. Kind of sounds like a funny name because that's a normal name for us today. But Seth was the God of the earth. And now God judges that God saying, okay, you think your God's so great? I'm over even that God. I'm over all your gods. You know, I'm over the ones I've already mentioned. I'm over the earth God as well. And I'm going to take the dust from the very earth that I created that you're crediting to the earth, and I'm going to turn it into a bunch of insects that'll bite you and bug you and harass you and make you miserable and be everywhere on you. And so once again, the Egyptian gods defeated by the Hebrew God. Notice the magicians. Again, here, this is interesting. He does this, and these guys are going to try to imitate it again. You know, I would say just stop. So he did it. They did so. Aaron stretched out his hand. The lice became all throughout the land of Egypt. Verse 18, now the magicians so worked with their enchantments to bring forth lice. So they came and they tried to do it. But notice this. But they could not. So there was lice on man and beast. Why couldn't Satan recreate that miracle? Because that was the creation of life. And that's where the line is drawn for Satan. He can mock God's miracles. He can mimic God's power up to a certain degree in certain things, but only God. God alone holds the exclusive rights to creation of life. And so now they see this lice, the dust around them. It's almost like you can imagine looking at the dirt and all of a sudden it begins to move and get all over their feet and their legs and crawling everywhere, you know, and all these, this, the dust itself becoming God creating, even as God made man from the dust. Now he makes these insects, whatever they were from the dust, and they're all around them. And these guys try to do it as well and realize, you know what? They begin to realize, you know what? This is a special power that we do not have. This is something that is greater than us. This is something that we can't keep up with. So they realize that we now have stepped into a new realm. This God of Moses is a greater God than all of the gods of Egypt. And the magicians are the first ones to recognize this, and they try to tell Pharaoh. Look at verse 19. Then the magician said to Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. Wow. And I love that. They said, this is the finger of God. They recognized that this was such a great miracle, but they were starting to recognize that the God of the Hebrews was so great that even his finger. Remember we said that he formed the stars and placed them in the heavens with what? His fingers, right? He said, hey, this is a God that we can't touch this. This is the finger of God. Pharaoh, this is different. You've got a God you're dealing with here that you've never dealt with before. You need to pay attention and listen up. So even the magicians were realizing it's time to humble ourselves to some degree before this God. But Pharaoh's heart grew hard. Look how hard this guy's heart is. And he did not heed them, just as the Lord had said. The Lord said that he wouldn't heed them. And now he's not heeding them, just as the Lord has said. You know, again, you come back to that phrase, what does it take for some people? What does it take? And you see people that get down to the end of their road and all these horrible things happen and they still don't come to the Lord. What's it going to take? For some people, it's never going to take. They're never going to receive the Lord. They're never going to repent. It's just kind of, they've made up their mind. They've hardened their heart. And that's how it's going to be. And that's Pharaoh. Now we see the first three plagues, blood, frogs, and lice, or some type of insect, probably a biting or annoying insect or whatever the case might be. Life is getting miserable in Egypt. And it's going to get worse until they repent. Guys, what an application that is for us today, because as we live in the world, that picture of Egypt, life continues to get worse and worse and worse. And we have two choices, either live in this miserable world with no hope of a future beyond that, or finally break and say, what am I doing? And a lot of you guys, you know, you know the Lord. Most of you don't know the Lord. You've done that. I remember, you know, coming to the Lord. I don't want the world to. I'm tired of the frogs, tired of the blood. I'm tired of the lice. I'm tired of all these plagues. I want to walk with God. And so there may be some of you tonight that, you know, have never done that. You know, it's time for you to repent and to come to the Lord. And maybe God's saying to you tonight, what's it going to take? I've sent blood. I've sent lice. You know, I've sent frogs. God's going to continue to turn up the heat. You know, sometimes people ask me, Mark, what's going to happen if this believer keeps going away from God? I tell them, it's going to continue to get worse in their life. God's going to send blood. If that doesn't work, God will send frogs. If that doesn't work, God will send lies. And the sad thing is there are two choices to make. Either you break and say, what am I doing? I don't want any more time with the frogs. I'm coming home, Lord. Or we do what Pharaoh did. Harden our heart. And the scary thing is, when you see a heart hardening and hardening and hardening, the Bible says it comes to a point where there's no return. Finally, the heart reaches the place where you can't repent. It's too hardened. You refuse. It's done. Man, I know that for most of you here tonight, maybe everybody, that's not the case, because you're here and you're believers and you know the word. But what a warning for us. Let's make sure that our hearts stay soft. Because even as believers, if we start veering off, God will turn the heat up. You ever experienced that? You know, the same sun that melts the wax, hardens the clay. It just depends on where our heart is. You know, you've heard the phrase, we can either get bitter or better as God begins to bring pressure on our life. So next week we'll get into looking at the fourth plague, which is flies. And that may be as far as we get, because there's a lot of stuff in the fourth plague. We'll see. And then maybe we'll cover another three or four in the week after that. But guys, here would be our encouragement to us tonight. Number one, make sure that you're not living with the frogs. If you're spending time with the frogs, it's time to repent. Why is my life miserable? Because you're spending time with the frogs. Get away from the frogs. Come back to the kingdom of God. Get back with God's people in heart and do what the Lord wants you to do. And God will forgive. As I said, I wish I could say that if you do that, there wouldn't be any more stink. You know, it depends on how long you've been out there. You know, there may be a pile of frogs, and it's going to stink a little while to clean it up. I know when I came to the Lord, I had this pile of frogs that followed me around everywhere for a while. But it was nice when those frogs were finally gone. And I'll tell you what, I'm not about to try to heap up another pile. And so make sure that, you know, you're not heaping up frogs, and you're not spending time with the frogs, and you're spending time with the Lord. Moses, getting exciting. We're going to watch it turn up. We're going to get into the flies next week. And I'll tell you, if there's anything, boy, there's almost nothing more annoying than a fly. And I've never been in like an infestation of lice or blood or frogs, so I'm sure that's pretty bad. But one fly, I think about what one fly does to me. You ever think about that? You're in your house and you decide you want to doze off for a minute. You ever been there? You've got 2,000 to 3,000 square feet in your home, and there's one fly, and he finds you. Here's, you know, think about 2,000 square feet to a fly. That's a lot of room. There's a lot of places you can go, buddy. You know, and it's, imagine swarms of them. That's what we're going to get into next week. So remember, God's going to continue to make them miserable until they repent. And yet, what's so sweet about it, once we get past that misery, if we simply repent, there's joy waiting, isn't there? Isn't there joy? God is good.
The Old Testament book of Exodus might sound like a far-fetched plotline for a movie with lots of CGI, but the truth is, the accounts in Exodus actually happened, and there were startling results for the Israelites, as well as for the people of Egypt. God proved his sovereignty, reigning over weather, an entire nation's economy, and most importantly, the hearts of people. There was much loss and devastation that occurred due to consequences that God handed out in Egypt, but through this, he showed his might, power, and ability to bring his people who were imprisoned to a state of freedom. Now that's a plot line to get behind, seeing God bring about redemption on a grand scale. If you're wrestling with anything you've heard today about God or his ways, we'd be happy to talk with you and pray about anything that feels unsettling. You can fill out a question or comment form at thewaymedia.net. Under the Come to the Table link, you can also give our church office a call at 865-609-1385. Again, that's 865-609-1385. If you're in the Knoxville area, please come join us at Calvary Knoxville, Simply go to thewaymedia.net and find the link at the bottom of the homepage to get service times and directions. If you'd like to hear more teachings from this series, we encourage you to find them on thewaymedia.net or download the Way Media app. Pastor Mark has more to share from this book next time, so make sure to join us the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.